Good morning. Good morning. Great to see you. Thanks for joining us today. Back in 2020, Sarah and I had the chance to go out to visit her sister, Rachel, who lives in Auckland. So we had 3 weeks to be able to go away in February, just before lockdown hit. So we managed to get home, fortunately. And while we were out there, we had an amazing time. But one of the things that we did was go to a very special village, and the village is called Hobbiton. And Hobbiton, it is where they filmed part of Lord of the Rings when it comes to Frodo and folks being in the Shire. And what they'd basically done is they'd created this amazing village with all of their little homes, and then they'd packed it all away, and then they decided to make another set of movies called The Hobbit. So they had to bring it all back out again and recreate the Shire, as if it was, I think it was about 50 years before Lord of the Rings. It was fantastic. So we went there. So we went to visit Frodo's and Bilbo Beggins' house, and Samwise Gamgee's house as well. We went to the little pub, the Green Dragon, as well. I tell you, it was such a cool experience as we were kind of guided around, and they were showing where they filmed certain bits and how they did certain bits, how they made Gandalf look so big, all of that kind of stuff. It was fantastic. But it reminded me of one of the early parts in the very first movie of The Lord of the Rings, called The Fellowship of the Rings, when Gandalf kind of gives the mission to Frodo to take the ring into the fires of Mordor to destroy it, so that the Dark Lord would not have his powers restored to be able to take over Middle Earth. And so they have to make their way to a place called Rivendell, and so he, Frodo, goes off with the ring, and he also goes with his friend Samwise Gamgee. And Samwise Gamgee, he was there. They're both walking as they're leaving the Shire, and all of a sudden, Samwise Gamgee just stops, and Frodo kind of wonders what's happening, and he says this. He says, "This is it." And Frodo said, "What is it?" And Samwise Gamgee said this. He says, "If I take one more step, it will be the farthest away from home I've ever been." And Frodo turns, and he comes up just alongside him, and he kind of touches him, and he says this. He says, "Come on, Sam. Remember what Bilbo used to say? It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out of your door. You step onto the road and you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to." In other words, Bilbo Baggins lived in such a confined little world because he was scared of what was out there. Samwise Gamgee realized that taking that next step was meaning that he was going to leave the familiar, the comfort of everything that he'd known. And it's this next step that becomes the catalyst for Samwise Gamgee to be the friend that Frodo needs to be able to destroy the ring. If you haven't watched the films, I've spoilt it. I'm sorry. He gets there. But it is the making of that little hobbit. And he goes off to do such brave things and to be the friend and support that Frodo needs. If you're here for the first time, and you haven't been coming along to the Forge over the last little while, I want to welcome you. You are joining us in week 4 of our series, which is called Catalysts. Catalysts. You know, sometimes in life we can kind of get stuck. In faith, we can get stuck, and it just feels like we're going round and round and round, doing the same thing over and over again. And you kind of think, this is not going anywhere. And we get caught up, and it feels like we lack meaning and purpose. And so a catalyst is this. A catalyst is an agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. And what God does, God uses certain catalysts to move us forward, to help us to take a next step in our journey of life and in the next step of our journey of faith too. And so over February, we've been exploring those 4 catalysts. So Just a quick kind of recap. Week one, we looked at what's known as real relationships. It's building relationships that reach below the surface. In other words, it is allowing other people to know the real us, where we're willing to kind of let down our guard and allow people to really know us. Have you ever had one of those moments where you're driving and you're driving along either a motorway or a dual carriageway and there's a car in front of you which is going slower than you want, and so you decide to pull out and you check your mirror and you pull out, and all of a sudden there is this blast of a horn. As you start to move out, you suddenly realize that there is another car alongside you. And they make various gestures towards you at that point as well, including fingers and things like that. And all of a sudden, you kind of swerve back and you think, I just didn't see them. Has that happened to you? Yeah, okay. So basically, what it means is that at some point, somewhere on your car, with all of your mirrors, there is what's known as a blind spot. Now, manufacturers are trying to kind of avoid any blind spots now. So they have mirrors in all kinds of different angles to enable us to see. But, you know, anyone who was driving behind me, if I was to pull out and there was already a car in that space, they would see what's happening and they would go, it's Fenning driving again. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't know who I was. They would either hit the horn themselves in order to be able to give warning. Why? Because they can see what I can't. Now, in life, you and I will have blind spots. We will have things that either we do or say or act, and we're just not aware of it. And sometimes those blind spots can lead us to places that we don't want to go. And we find ourselves in places where we just think, how did I get here? And it's because it's been a blind spot to us. And so one of the things, when we have real relationships, when relationships go below the surface, we have people who can speak into our lives to point out what we can't see. And that only works if we give permission for people to be able to do that. Because if you came up to me and said, Steve, you're just always losing your temper with people, I'd shout at you and tell you to shut up and move away. No, why? Because I haven't given you permission to do that. Now, it might be true, but I haven't given you permission. Whereas actually, if I can have a group of people who I say, look, if you spot something where I'm acting in a weird way or I'm not responding well, would you tell me? Because I don't want to live my life that way. Real relationships, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Week two, we looked at the second of these catalysts, which is a new mindset. A pattern of thinking that we operate out of that shapes how we live, our attitudes, and our actions. I discovered that actually children can learn new mindsets at a very young age. Sarah and I go every Wednesday to babysit our granddaughter, who is 15 months old, and she loves stories. So she goes and gets her favorite storybooks out. Fortunately, she doesn't take them to me. She takes them to Sarah because Sarah can read. And one of her favorite books that she has is called A Squash and a Squeeze. Oh, dear. A Squash and a Squeeze, where an old woman is complaining about how squashed and squeezed she is in her small little house. And she's complaining about it. So she goes to an old man and says, old man, I'm living in this tiny, tiny little house and it's such a squash and a squeeze. Can you give me some advice as to what to do? And he says, well, bring your chicken into the house. And so she brings the chicken into the house and the chicken flaps around and it's chaos. And she's feeling all the tight ends. This is awful. So she goes back to the wise old man and says, what shall I do now? He says, bring the goat in. So she brings the goat in and she's got the goat and the chicken in her and it's getting squashier and squashier in there. And then she goes back to the wise old man and says, well, what should I do? And so he says, well, bring the pig in. So there's the pig and the goat and it gets even tighter and she can hardly move. She goes once more and says, you've got to tell me what I can do. This is getting so tight. And he says, well, take your cow in then. And so she brings the cow in. So there's the cow and the goat and the pig and the chicken and her. And it is such a squeeze. And she doesn't know what to do. She can hardly move. So she goes to the old man and says, what should I do? And he says, well, take them all out. And she took them all out. And she says, my house is so big. It's so spacious. It's amazing. You see, that's the change of mindset. When you see something from a different perspective, It shifts how we view things. Getting a new perspective helps to bring new mindsets. A man called Paul said this. He says, don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How you think plays such a big part in the life that you're going to lead. So to see things from God's perspective and to view life and decisions differently can help us to get unstuck, just as real relationships can do so as well. Then we look week three at better habits. Better habits. Remember, a spiritual habit is an activity that can help me gain power to live life as Jesus taught and modeled it. And I have loved, for those of you who have picked up Luke's gospel, because we looked at one spiritual habit last week, the importance of actually getting to read and engage with the Bible. There's about 30, 31, 32 people who have taken these. We've got a few more on there if you still want to join. Basically, take this away, commit to reading one chapter a day. And you'll be part of a WhatsApp group and you can see all the comments that people make about what they are learning or what they are discovering or what they don't understand out of that chapter. I'm loving it. So if you want to join us with that, you can join us on day seven today. A man called David said this, that your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So that's what we've done so far. Look at that. You didn't need to come to the other weeks. I've just filled you in. So, right. Okay. So today we are looking at the final one of these catalysts that move us from being stuck, from lacking meaning and purpose to a very different kind of life. It's this, it's brave moves, daring to walk by faith and leaving the familiar behind. See, if you think about it, some of the greatest films that have ever been made, or TV series, they have been great. Why? Because they are based around great characters whose stories have twists and turns to them, highs and lows, and each one of them will face a dilemma of whether to step out into the unknown or to stay safe with the familiar. And what makes the great story, of course, is those who are willing to step out of the familiar and to go into the unknown and to then be able to achieve all kinds of great things. So, look at this. This shows how old I am, but there's some old movies there. But you've got Erin Brockovich there. Erin Brockovich, played by Julia Roberts. When Erin Brockovich was the most amazing woman who fought to get justice over the polluted water supply at a place, what's the place called? It's called Huntley in California. And she got the biggest payout to families that had ever been seen in the States. Just this one lady who stepped out of her safety, out of the familiar, and brought about incredible results. Frodo Baggins, Samwise Gamgee, yep, leaving the Shire to destroy the ring. Sarah Connor, come on, the Terminators. We all loved that, didn't we? No, okay, all right then. Well, I did. But you see, all of those heroes don't stay with the familiar, don't stay comfortable. No, each one of them is a hero. Why? Because they step out and they do something beyond what they are used to doing. You know, and we're not just to enjoy great stories in movies. We have the chance to be able to live out a great story. It's what Jesus calls us to. He calls us in this life, in a life of faith, to leave what is just familiar and to be able to step out into the unknown. Why do we get stuck in life? Why does life often feel bland, feels a bit kind of pointless and meaningless at times, as if we're going through the motions? I'll tell you why. It's because we play it safe. In life, we will hit numerous decisions. Decision-making moments, should I say. And there are always two options on the table for us. It's these two options. We can choose the familiar, what we know, or we can choose a brave move. The familiar, it's what's known to us. It's what's comfortable. It's what's safe, what we've done before. Basically, it's life as we know it. Or we can choose a brave move where there's a bit more adventure. There's the unknown. There are different possibilities. There's a risky way forward.
And whichever we choose, we gain something and we lose something. We sacrifice something on one hand in order to be able to gain on the other. Give you an example, Sarah and I, just to show you how sad we are. Well, yeah, she is. I just sit and watch it with her. Love It or List It. Love It or List It with Phil and Kirsty. Okay, I don't know. Have any of you seen that program? Yeah, okay then. Yeah, you just stayed quiet, didn't you? I know, yeah. Okay, well, they help people to decide whether to stay in their original home, having some changes made to the structure and the layout of their house, or Phil's job is to try and get them to move. And so he goes and shows them all different houses in that area, which meet the requirements that they have, but they don't have in their own home at the moment. And I have to make everything a competition when I watch something like that. So I am a Phil fan. I always want Phil to win, never want Kirsty to win, and Phil never wins. Well, maybe once or twice, but hardly he ever wins. Why doesn't he win? It's because it's much easier, it's much safer to be able to stay in the known, even if it's been improved, than it is to take the risk of moving somewhere else. The familiar versus the brave move. Our natural draw will always be to the familiar, to the comfortable, to what's already known. Naturally, we were more likely to sacrifice the adventure for what we already know. It's partly just who we are. Why is that? Well, our natural draw is to the familiar because a life of adventure involves leaning into the unknown with an unknown outcome in an area which might be less familiar to us, and it can feel risky. So what we do so often in life is we choose the safe option. We choose what's known because it feels safe. But the brave move is what makes the story that we love so compelling. And it's the brave move that makes the difference, that brings change, that helps us to get unstuck in life. And moving away from the familiar and towards the adventure is what makes a story worth telling. Honestly, it does. I mean, can you imagine the video with Sam Land a little while ago? I stayed at home. I went to work. And then I came home. It's not much of a story, is it? You know, we don't create videos of people who stay at home. Of course not. Because there is something appealing about the adventure. My auntie, she used to attend this church. Her name is Jill Fenning. She lived in a bungalow, the bungalow that I was actually born in. She lived in that bungalow with her husband, Wynne, all of her married life. And Wynne died back in 2018. And she stayed in that home over COVID. 55 years that she had lived there. But it's in an isolated part of a village. There is no public transport. And so she decided to move to a retirement home in Beccles. And everyone said, why Beccles? It's because there was a retirement home there. She didn't know people there. It was just a new area. But there was something about, for Jill, that sense of adventure of I'm happy to move and I will make friends when I get there. So we don't talk to her anymore because she moved away. But I tell you, that is such a brave move for someone in their 70s to do just that. We can choose, every single one of us here today, we can choose brave moves. We can. But it's optional. Because we can choose to keep things as they are. And what happens is we get the results that we're getting right now. But when it comes to a life of faith, when it comes to following Jesus, we discover that Jesus calls people to make brave moves, to leave behind the old and the familiar and to take on the new. In other words, to take a step of faith. Faith a writer of one of the books in the New Testament. We don't know who wrote it, but he wrote to a group of people which were just known as the Hebrews. And he wrote this. He says, without faith, in other words, without belief in God and putting that belief into action, it is impossible to please God. So if you're not a follower of Jesus here today, can I just say, first of all, love that you're here. Love that you're getting an experience, a taste of what it can be like to be part of a Christian community. Love that you're exploring. And do you know what? If you're not a follower of Jesus, you don't have to do anything that Jesus says. Isn't that great? That's a real good let off, isn't it? You don't, because you're not a follower. So why would you want to? But if you're exploring and you want to find out what it means to follow Jesus, honestly, it will take a brave move. It will. Because there's a cost in following Jesus. So to start following Jesus, here we go, look, just a few things just to come up here on the screen. To start following Jesus, it's going to take a brave move. One, to admit that the way in which you've been living isn't the best way and that you're going to trust God and his way. That's a brave move. To admit that you need a rescuer, you need a savior to deal with the mess ups in your life so that you can experience forgiveness. That's a brave move to admit that. It's a brave move to step into a new life with Jesus, living as Jesus lived and taught. That is not a light decision. It requires a brave move. But because Jesus didn't call people into the life that they already knew, into the familiar, he didn't call people to maintain their familiar existence. He called people into a new adventure, a new life, and a new life that was about placing their faith in him. And so why is faith and those brave moves and familiarity kind of two ends of a scale? Well, it's because faith has a lot to do with where we place our confidence. On the whole, naturally, we will put our confidence, our faith, into what we already know. It's how we've been brought up, and so we trust what we know, which is why when we go through life, we respond in the same ways to similar situations. We go back to what we know. It's what we're comfortable with. But Jesus, he calls us to have faith not in ourselves and in what we've known already. But he calls us to have faith in God. And faith in God in two ways, that God's way is better and that God's plan is better. That's active faith. If you want to know what really living out a life of faith, it's believing and having faith that God's way is better and that God's plan is better. Faith requires us to make a brave move to shift where our confidence is. So do you trust how you feel? Do you trust what you've experienced before? Or, Jesus says, are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to act on what I say? Because he calls us to make brave moves all the time. He says this. He says, you've got to love your enemy and pray for them. If you've been reading through Luke, you'll have come across these verses already of where Jesus speaks this out. He says, you've got to forgive those who hurt you. You've got to put others first and you've got to serve them, putting their needs before your own. Then he says this incredible verse. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple, which is a follower, you must deny themselves and take up their cross and daily follow me. And do you know what? Jesus modeled that. So he's not asking us to take a brave move that he hasn't made himself. He took a brave move to leave heaven, to come to earth, and to be a vulnerable baby. He took the brave move to carry his own cross to his own death. What Jesus calls of us is what he has modeled already. And he calls us to be generous. You know, there was a man called Zacchaeus who was a tax collector. And tax collectors were, on the whole, they were Jews who were working for the enemy. So they would be known as traitors. Now, if any of you have seen the series Traitors, you might well have got caught up in that. And of course, the traitor is supposed to be hidden. Well, this traitor was in plain sight for everyone because he was working for the enemy, the Romans, in collecting taxes. And the way in which he could make his own money is by charging on top of what those taxes were. And so when people would come to Zacchaeus, he would just accumulate more and more money from people, and people had to pay it. Why? Because he was a tax collector. And so he was hated. And Jesus had come to a town called Jericho, and Zacchaeus was really keen to see this person called Jesus, who so many people have been talking about. And so because he was small, he couldn't see, so he climbed up and he sat on a branch of a tree to be able to look across the crowds to be able to spot Jesus. What he didn't realize is that Jesus was going to spot him. And Jesus walks up to Zacchaeus while he's up there in the tree, and he says, "Zacchaeus, I want to come, I want to have a meal with you." And of course, everyone is utterly shocked. One, how did Jesus know his name? And secondly, why is he going there for a meal? But Jesus had got this sorted. So he goes to Zacchaeus's house, and we don't know what was said in that conversation. We only know the outcome of that conversation. Because what Zacchaeus does in encountering Jesus is that he makes a brave move. He leaves what's familiar, and he chooses to give away the money that he'd swindled out of people. This is what he said. "Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, 'I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes,'" which he had, "'I will give them back four times as much.'" So where he had trusted a lifestyle that was going to keep him in wealth, he was giving it all up. Why? Because somehow an encounter with Jesus made him make a very brave move to say, "I'm not going to trust in the stuff that I have. I'm going to trust in Jesus." A young man came to Jesus, asked if he could receive eternal life, and Jesus talked to him. There was obviously something different about Jesus, that this young ruler came to him, and he came with some confidence, because Jesus said this. He says, "Well, okay, if you want to know how to receive eternal life, here we go. You know what the commandments say, don't you? Don't commit adultery, don't commit murder, do not steal, do not be a false witness, honor your father and mother." And look what he says. He says, "I've obeyed all of those commands since I was a boy." I don't know whether he was going to commit adultery as a boy or what. I don't know. But he said he's been able to keep all of those commands. So in other words, he was relying on how good he had been. And Jesus, I think Jesus must have seen so much potential in this young guy. So much potential. One, he lives a great life. Secondly, he's asking the right question. And Jesus responded. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You are still missing just one thing. Sell everything you have. Give the money to those who are poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then you come and follow me." And when the ruler heard this, he became very sad. Why? Because he was very rich. I've read that story over and over again, and I think Jesus is being so unfair. I do. Don't you think that just seems such an extreme response to put a man off from following him? See, he doesn't say it to others. He hasn't said it to me yet. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because of where that young ruler put his confidence and his faith. And he was either going to live with the familiar of what he'd known, of being wealthy, relying on finances to be able to see him through life, or he had to choose to give that up in order to become a follower of Jesus. Because remember, it's about where we put our confidence, whether we put it in money or whether we put it in Jesus. So Jesus was challenging him about where he would put his faith, in the familiar and in being good, or in God himself. And the verse says, when the ruler heard this, he became very sad, because he was very rich. Now, we don't know whether he chose to do that or not, but you can sense the battle going on inside of him. A life of faith demands us to make a brave move. It does. We will get stuck otherwise. So I have to do this. So in two Saturdays time, I go off to Guatemala on the trip that Becky spoke about. I'm going with Becky and Karen and Paul Austin, and it sounds exciting, and it's not to me. Because I hate heading into the unknown. I hate leaving home. It's a different language, it's a different culture. I don't know what we're going to be doing out there. And it's so far away from the familiar for me, which is why I'm going. Because it's my brave move this spring. You've got cards. You've got cards on your seat. The Catalyst cards. You just turn them over. Because there are two questions there that I want us to quickly focus on. The last two. When was the last time that you made a brave move? When was the last time? Think about that. And then secondly, what will be my next move? Is it to invest in our young people and our kids? Is it to go and say, I'm really interested in one of the trips, I need to speak to Becky? Is it to contact some of the neighbors and invite them around for a meal because you've never done that and you've never had a kind of a decent conversation with them? Is your brave move to share your faith with a friend? Is it your brave move to actually get help with an issue that you've struggled with for so long and you've just hoped that it would go away and it won't and it's time to do something about it? What's your brave move going to be? Because a brave move can unstick us from a place where we kind of have no direction to finding a passion and a direction in life, which for Sam Land, he's discovering right now out in Zambia. So what's your brave move? Can I ask that we stand? Because I think it's good for us to think about what we think our best next move ought to be. But it's even better when God highlights it. So I want to pray that God would do just that. To highlight to us as individuals what he's whispering to us, saying, this is your next move. This is your next brave move. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you have an adventure in store for us, which is so different to what we've been familiar with in the past. Thank you that you call us out of the mundane. You call us away from trusting in stuff and trusting in people that will let us down. And you call us to put our hope and our trust in you. And so, Jesus, I pray that today you would plant something in our minds, whether that's through a friend saying something to us or whether it's just a thought that comes into our minds of what our next step can be. A next step to move us towards the life and adventure that you call us to. And Lord, if there are people here who are considering following you, Lord, I pray that they would choose to take that next step of saying, I don't know where this leads, Lord, but I open my life to you. And I want to invite you to come in and to lead my life. Because your way is best and your plan is best. In Jesus' name, amen.
Intro 2, 3.